friends, and welcome to the Granite Bay Seventh-day Adventist Church Sabbath School Study Hour. We are so delighted once again that you have joined us as we go through this week's lesson, Lesson 7, The Bread and Water of Life. I hope you enjoyed studying as we're going to go over it this morning. I know it was a blessing for me, so thankful. And we have a special gift for you today that we'd like to make available. If you would like to have, you can call 1-866-788-3966. You also can text SHO87 to the number 40544, and that will give you the same gift. Also, if you're outside of the United States, you can mail study.aftv.org/SHO87. And this week's gift is the surrender of self, the surrender of self. So please take advantage of that free gift and call in and order that. As we get into our lesson today, we want to begin with a prayer as we are looking at Lesson 7, the topic, the bread and water of life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity of once again going through a lesson, going through the journey of the Exodus. And we invite your presence with us as we study from your word. And as we look into this topic, may you fill us and draw us closer to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lesson 7, the bread and water of life. A beautiful study this week, and we want to delve into that. Sabbath afternoon, the reading, the scripture readings to look at for the week had some from Exodus 15, Genesis 3, 1 Corinthians 10, beautiful passages, and we'll tie them all together. And we want to start with our memory verse. Our memory verse this week is taken from Exodus 16, 28 through 30, and it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day.' So the people rested on the seventh day." Exodus 16, 28 through 30. Now, as we start this week's lesson, you understand that Israel is on a journey. They have left Egypt now, and Moses and Aaron and taking the people to the promised land. And as they're now in a new environment, they're no longer under the discipline of Egypt and the taskmasters, there's some things they have to learn. This week's lesson brings it out, talks about they need to learn self-control. They need to learn discipline. They need to learn sacrifice. They need to learn unselfishness, trust in the Lord, and especially obedience. And it's really amazing as you watch the children of Israel, as you read through the story, as they leave Egypt and they go into the wilderness, as they're going through all of these experiences, you see, if you look closely, how God is trying to help them grow into a relationship with Him. All the stories that are recorded are designed to help them learn these very lessons. Learn to be patient. Learn to rely on the Lord. Learn to trust, and not at every step of the way, complain, blame, say it's no good, have problems. God wants them to learn to trust in Him. And Moses was their leader, right? He was the visible leader, and Moses was the one that was relaying to the people what God wanted for them, and they were supposed to trust them. But they're on the journey now, and they're out of Egypt. They have their freedom. They're ready to go, but now the time of testing, as it were, has come. And we see this right away in first lesson of the week in Sunday. Sunday's lesson right away tells us about these challenges. Sunday's lesson is entitled Bitter Waters. And watch what happens. In our lesson, it says for us to read Exodus 15, 22 through 27. And the question is, after crossing the Red Sea, what was the background to the first miracle performed? All right. So now they're through the Red Sea. Have they seen a miracle? Yeah. They have seen miracles with the plagues, how the plagues fell on Egypt, but they didn't have the problems. How God led them with the pillar of fire and the cloud already. They're through the Red Sea, and now they're out into the desert, and what is a problem? Look here. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now let that stick in your mind for a moment. 3 days in the desert, no water. They didn't find any. So what they had was going to be used up. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses. Boy, don't we see that as a theme throughout the Exodus journey? They did what? They got to a place where there was supposed to be water. The water was there, and it was bitter. And what did they do? And this is such a life lesson, friends. I hope we don't miss it in as we go through here. When things go wrong, the first person you should turn to is God. The first person you should go to is to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, I'm hot, I'm thirsty, I'm in the desert, I need help. Here's the water, but the water's no good. But what does it say they do? Because you remember, and we talked about in Sabbath, they need to learn discipline. They need to learn sacrifice. They need to learn self-control. These are the lessons, and here we're seeing it right here. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord. Now, did you see this? They get to the water, it's bitter. What do the people do? They turn to Moses, and do they say, oh, Moses, thank you for bringing us out here into the desert. Moses, thank you for being our leader. Thank you for being willing to take the responsibility of leading us out. Mm-mm, that's not what they did. They get there, and what happens? The first thing they do, they complain, and they complain to Moses. And what does Moses do? And there's a lesson for us. What did Moses do? So he cried out to the Lord. That's what we have to do. Who can ultimately fix the situation that they're in? Does Moses have water that he's carrying? No. Does Moses have the ability to change bitter water to sweet water? No. Who can fix the problems? God has to give the ability to do it. And so Moses understands this. He cries out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. So here we have in the Bible recording for us on the Exodus journey how God is trying to help his people learn the lessons of faith, learn the lessons of followers of God, learn the lessons of how God wants to take care of us. And he said, if you diligently heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So what was the background for the first miracle performed? Well, we're getting pretty clear picture here. Verse 27, then they came to Elm, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. You know, I like how Sunday's lesson, there's one phrase here that the author brings out. This situation shows God is the problem solver. I highlighted that in my lesson. Did you guys catch that? God is the problem solver. It didn't say that your mom and dad, your government, your whoever it is, God is the problem solver. And God wants to solve problems if we'll come to him and trust him. Another important lesson that we see here is how that after 3 days of journeying in the hot, burning desert, and I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you've been out hiking, maybe even for a day, and didn't have enough water and how it drains you. I don't know how much water they brought out of Egypt or how much water they had, but in 3 days, it was gone. They were thirsty. They were irritated. They were desiring something. They thought they were going to die. They thought they were lost. All these complications. And then when they find what they thought the solution was, it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And they complained instead of trusting God, instead of believing in him. They were supposed to come there. And God wanted them to be patient. And it brings out in the lesson here that people needed to be patient. They also needed to trust that God will work with his leadership to help get the problem solved and that he would take care of them. How did God work with Moses to solve the problem? You see, Moses could have just come up and said, water be healed, water be sweet. But what did God do for them? What did God ask Moses to do? He said, get a piece of wood and throw it in the water. Now, was it some special wood that had some kind of flavoring in it that once you put it in the water? No, it was an act that Moses did to show how God was cooperating with a human, with his servant Moses, to bring about a solution. God does that sometimes. And you know, too many times we forget how God takes care of us. Because if you think about it, here's this story of the children of Israel who are now 3 days into the wilderness. The Bible tells us how long? 3 days. How many days had it been since they just saw the Red Sea open up? How could that not have been fresh in their mind? How could that not have been like, wow, God opened the Red Sea. God wiped out almost the entire army, the entire nation of the Egyptian. They were crippled. They couldn't do anything else. And now here they are. It's like, so God could do that, but he cannot give us water to drink. Man. And you see, these lessons are here because God understands us. He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust and that we are prone to have these issues of lack of faith, lack of patience, lack of confidence, not trusting in him. And here it is. It comes out here. Another thing that is so amazing that the lesson brings out is in our passage that we looked at, God tells Moses, take the wood, throw it in the water, and the water becomes sweet. And then God, in spite of the grumbling of the people, in spite of their complaining, he makes a powerful passage. I don't know if you have it highlighted in your Bible. I'd encourage you to do it. Exodus 15, verse 26. If you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, what does he say he's going to do? He's going to take care of us. He's not going to put the diseases on us that he put on the Egyptians. This is incredible how even in the midst of their grumbling, God said, I'll be patient with you. I hear you. I'll take care of it. And guess what? Not only am I going to just give you water now, but if you will listen to me, if you will follow me, I can do even greater things for us. Man, I can tell you that that's my personal testimony. I gave my life to the Lord, trusting in him, letting him lead, letting him guide. And boy, this is exactly what he does. He takes the situation, he does what God does, a miracle, adjust circumstances, bring people to resolve it. And then God says, I want to do even more for you. Oh, friends, you hear that? God wants to do even more for us. How powerful. Look at the end of the lesson. It says, what trials and struggles have you brought upon yourself? What comfort can you get in knowing that God will still work in your behalf if you cooperate with him? You see, this is kind of being connected with the story. The children of Israel get there. They're now at the place where they need water. They need to drink something. And instead of turning to God, they complain. They get all upset. They lose patience. And then God says, look, I'll take care of it. And you have to think, what situations have you put yourself in? What trials and struggles have you brought upon yourself? Have you ever had that situation? I remember when I was a kid, my mom used to say, don't do this, and we do it anyway, right? And then there's problems. And then who do you want to fix the problems? You have a teacher, don't do this, you do it anyway. The Bible gives us instructions, and God says, if you will diligently hearken unto the voice, if you will follow what I have for you. One of the biggest areas we see that is in health. You think about all the things. The Bible says, eat a certain way, eat this good food for you. We don't do it. We get sick. And then we're like, okay, God, why'd you do this to me? Well, you see here, what trials and struggles have you brought upon yourself? What comfort can you get in knowing that God will still work in your behalf? Well, we have the example here. God did, in spite of their grumbling, in spite of their complaining, in spite of all of that, God said, I'll give you the water you need and I'll do much more. And God will do the same for us. If we come to him, he says, I'll give you the water you need, but I want to do more for you. I want to do greater things for you. I want to bless you in a level that you may not have ever experienced before. Wow, Sunday's off and running. Notice what we see here on Monday. We have an interesting thing happening in this week's lesson because it talks about here that we often find that food is the center of problems. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that in your experience, but here we have in Monday, quail and manna. So Sunday, what do we talk about? Bitter water. Here we on Monday, what are we talking about? Quail and manna, food. Unfortunately, the lesson says, there is a repetitive pattern of rebellion in these pilgrim stories. And that's what we're having. They got to the water, rebelled. Now they're hungry, they're rebelling. Look what it says here in our lesson. Read Exodus 16, 1 through 36. What is the cause of Israel's grumbling and what followed? I'm going to just pick out a couple of texts here for us to look at. Notice verse 2. It says, "Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." We got to stop right there. Did you catch that? Didn't we just see the same thing? They're on their journey, which we talked about on Sabbath. They're on their journey to the promised land. The first thing they encounter is the lack of water. They complain to Moses. Next thing they encounter is no food. What do? Complaint. Look at this. The whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses. Was it Moses' fault? Was it Aaron's fault? Who called the children of Israel out of Egypt? It was God. Were they not praying to be delivered? Were they not asking God to do something incredible for them? So he did, and he brought them this far. Why would he bring them out this far and let them die of hunger? That's not who God is. But they had to learn to trust him. For how many years had they been in bondage, where it was almost as though the devil had snuffed out all faith, all hope, all trust. And so they only knew that whenever there's a problem, to do what verse 2 says. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Verse 3, "And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt.'" Really? Look at that. "When we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Wow, this is just incredible. How is it? What did Moses give up to come in here to help lead the people out? Nowhere do you read, if you were to take from Exodus 16 and go back, and as a matter of fact, if you take from 16 and go forward, you never see where Moses said, "Oh, I am so glad I got all these people out here so that I can kill them, so that I can make their life miserable, so that I can bring upon them all of these trials." It's not in there. You don't see that in there. That's not what Moses was doing. As a matter of fact, Moses by himself could have never gotten the people out of Egypt. It was God, but the Lord was helping teach lessons. He wanted them to learn how to trust in him. So what was the cause of Israel's grumbling and what followed? They were hungry. And as a result of being hungry, they started making statements. Have you ever done that when you're distressed, or you could even say when you're hungry, when you're mad at somebody? Maybe you have a relationship with someone, and when they don't do the things you expect them to do, and then you say things, because in that moment you just blurt out these words, these sayings, these things that are designed to try to make the other person feel the pain that you're feeling, because that's kind of what they're doing here. They knew full well Moses didn't bring them out there to kill them. They knew full well that God was working here and that they should have turned to the Lord, but they blamed Moses, and then they went after Moses with words that it's probably fair to say afterwards, they regret saying it. You see, friends, we've got to learn to trust the Lord and to be with him and know that whatever's going on, he'll take care of us. So we need to be careful when we're hungry. Trust the Lord when we're tired. Trust the Lord when we're angry. Trust the Lord so he will take care of us. It's important for us to notice that God will bless and give us what we need. It's interesting you see in the lesson that it talks about how many times people connected with food had problems. You see, it talked about here with Adam and Eve. What was their issue? What did they fall on? You talk about Jesus in the wilderness of temptation. What was it that was brought to him? Remember it said, "Turn these rocks into bread." You think about Esau, the firstborn. Remember what he traded his birthright over what? He was hungry. He was hungry and he was willing to give up everything to satisfy that hunger. And we need to learn, trust the Lord and let him take care of us. He'll watch over. That's why this text that comes up in Deuteronomy 8:3, and we see Jesus repeat it later, it says, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's what it is. Whatever's going on, it's like, this is not what we live for. We live for Jesus. He'll take care of this. Cannot God turn these stones into bread? He can. Cannot God provide manna and quail for us? He can. And each of those miracles that God comes forth to start helping them, he wants to give them the things that they need. The lesson talks about each week, four miracles happen. So they were hungry, they needed food, and God said, I'm going to start doing it. We're going to look at that in a moment here in Exodus 16. It says that God would now start for 5 days bringing food. And then it says on Friday, the sixth day, they were to take a double portion and that they would have food on Sabbath. So God would on Friday do a double portion. There's your second miracle. The lesson says that the manna would not spoil on Friday, which the other days, if you took more, it would spoil. And then the fifth miracle is that on Sabbath, no manna would fall, even though every other day did. I tell you, every day that you went out and saw the manna was to remind you of God's ability to take care of us, God's ability to provide for us. But as we've seen, people are short-sighted and they forget soon. They forget right away that God is taking care of us. Every morning we wake up and take a breath, we should say, praise the Lord, we're alive. Okay? Here at the end of the lesson, there's an interesting statement here, a question to be asked. People like to eat. We were created to like to eat. The rich abundance of food growing out of the ground, our original diet, reveals not only that God wants us to eat, but that we are to like what we eat too. How, though, can this wonderful gift, that of food and our liking of it, be abused? Well, we understand we're in a world of sin, and the devil doesn't want us to be healthy. And one of the ways that we are to be healthy is with a healthy diet. So we've seen as a result of sin, things that are good that God has provided for us have been perverted so that now they cause sickness, weakness, and death. And so here we have something that, man, I praise the Lord for the gift of eating, right? Have you ever had some of the amazing food that God has created? I remember going to Brazil. My wife is from Brazil, going down there. Now, I'll admit, not all the things down there I enjoyed. We were in the market one time and they had a cashew fruit. I don't know if you've ever seen the cashew fruit. I didn't realize that the cashew was on top of the fruit, but they took the fruit, put it in a juice, and I drank it, and it didn't have sugar in it. Oh, wow, try that one. Cashew juice, wow. But then we went to this market where they had pineapples. They're just not the same as what we get here in America. See, I was raised in a family that we ate everything out of a can almost. So we had canned pineapple. But in Brazil, we had these fresh pineapples. They were on ice. They had a stick in it. You ate it. It's like nothing I've ever eaten. Well, I have to confess, I did go to Hawaii. I lived in Hawaii, and the fruit in Hawaii, the pineapples were amazing. Not quite the same as Brazil, but just, I'm sorry, I get off point. The issue is God has created amazing things for us that he wants us to eat. And don't allow sin to corrupt the things that he's created. Because you know you can take pineapple juice, and if it gets fermented, it's a problem, right? So friends, God has wonderful things for us, and he wants us to enjoy it. And let us keep in harmony with him, trusting that just like the children of Israel needed water, God didn't say drink the bitter water. What does the Bible say? He made it sweet for them. The children of Israel said, we need food. And God says, I'm going to give you food. I'm going to give you what's called manna, this incredible miracle every day, this incredible food every day. And as you follow the process that I have set up to help you learn the lessons, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have health. God has wonderful things for us, friends. Let's set aside the bad food and let's eat the good things that he has. And let's all take a trip to Brazil, amen, and eat some pineapple down there. Tuesday's lesson. Let's look here. We go again. What is the issue we talked about earlier? How the problems that come up because of food bread and water. Here we have in Tuesday's lesson, water from the rock. In the wilderness, you need lots of water, right? You're in the desert, you need lots of water. And they needed enough to help them go day to day. But here we have a lesson that's to post us another lesson to be learned. The question is, what lesson should the people have learned from this incident? This is the incident found in Exodus chapter 16. Now we have verses 1-7. Let's read this together and let's look at what they were supposed to learn. We're going to go down to verse 5. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand a rod with which you struck the river and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So here we have a story happening. They needed water, right? And how did God resolve their problem? Kind of like what he did at the beginning of our lesson with the water. He got a stick, a piece of wood, and put in. Now Moses is using his rod, but God is working through Moses to teach the people faith and to trust in him. And what was Moses supposed to do? Now we have two stories in the Bible about Moses with the rock. We're just looking at one. Keep this one in mind, so we'll look at the other one later. It says here that, "Behold, I stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock," and what's going to happen? When Moses takes his rod, and I like how he brings out the rod that you used in the river. This was the rod that was used when they split the Red Sea to go through. So this is a symbol of power through God using this instrument. So he goes there, and he strikes the rock, and what happens? It's interesting that the phrase testing and quarreling is what we find in these scriptures, the words that are being used here in this passage. Testing and quarreling. Instead of quarreling, we need to learn from the test to trust God, and that God will take care of and provide for us what it is we need. Trusting in the Lord instead of simply just going out there. So we called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" It is a testing time. And instead of grumbling, they should have turned to the Lord. And this is why these things happen in our life, is to strengthen our faith in the Lord, to trust Him, to know that He's going to take care of us. And here this experience we have where it was called testing and quarreling, Moses smote the rock, but who was it that actually brought the water out of the rock? Can you get water out of a rock? Well, I don't know. There may be some types of soft stones out there that you can do that from, but a rock doesn't produce water. But here you see that it wasn't Moses with his rod, it was God standing with him that brings out the water to supply what the people needed. God wanted to take care of. Water is a symbol of life, right? In the lesson it talks about, without water, there is no life. Every cell in our body needs water. We are 60% water ourselves. Even our bones are composed partly of water. Thus, providing water in the wilderness for them was a sign for Israel that God cared for them, that He was going to take care of them. Paul later brings up this issue, and he talks about how that God wants to do for us an incredible thing. The lesson asks this question: what are some of the things that right now you need to trust God with? How can you learn to submit to His will and wait for Him to act in His time? Why is this not always so easy to do? Well, you think about the children of Israel. They had just seen some incredible miracles, but they were hungry. They had seen some amazing things, but they were thirsty. And those emotions, those feelings, those issues are real. And because of that, it leads us to think beyond the moment of the feeling or the emotion or whatever it is and say that this is all that there is, instead of believing that God is above our hunger, God is above our thirst, God is above our problems, and He will take care of us. We don't need to ask the question, is the Lord among us or not? Because that is kind of an offensive thing to say. They didn't get out of Egypt if it wasn't for God. They didn't get through the Red Sea. They didn't it was God doing all of these things for us, but we have to trust Him daily, because otherwise we have the problem, and it's not easy to believe that God is going to deliver all of the things unless we learn from these stories and in our own experience that God will take care of us. All right, Wednesday's lesson, Jethro. So this is Moses' father-in-law, and he hears that they're on their way to the promised land, and Jethro brings with him Moses' wife and his two sons. And when they get there, he begins telling about all the stories. Read Exodus 18, 1 through 27. What major steps in the history of the nation took place here? So we're going to pick out a couple of texts here, because there's an experience with Jethro that took place that really, really helped change the way things were done with the children of Israel. The text reads in Exodus, it says here 18, and I'm pulling out a couple of verses here that really bring us to the story that we're talking about here. It says, what major steps in the history of the nation took place here? And it was so on the next day that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw that he did all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? Here we have Jethro observing Moses working and how Moses is dealing with the issues that come up. So this large group, this Israel, this nation, all their problems were being brought to Moses, and he was supposed to answer on everyone. He was supposed to sit in judgment of it. And Jethro is watching this, and he's seeing it, and he's like, wait a minute, there's a better way to resolve this. And we have a principle being set up here. God takes care of our needs with water. God takes care of our needs with food. God will take care of our need of structure and organization in carrying forward our day-to-day life. Here we have Jethro comes to him, and he says, look, you need to set up a system by which you are able to better judge and take care of all these issues that come up. So Jethro is praising God for all the incredible things that have happened. He's telling Moses, like it talks about in the lesson, look at all these miracles that have happened. All these things are taking place. But now it's time for us to give some wise advice. Will you listen? It's interesting because Moses listens to Jethro, who's not a Hebrew. Is wisdom only among certain individuals? Is not wisdom from God? Doesn't the Bible tell us all wisdom is from God? Yes, and here we have Jethro sitting down. He says, pick some people. Pick out men who fear God, who are trustworthy, who hate dishonest gain, capable people, and then set up a structure by which you can better operate and fulfill the journey to the promised land. This is incredible, because God's not just interested about our food and our water. God is interested in our daily life and having structure and organization that helps us to live a life that can be less stressful, one that we trust Him, that He will take care of us. Now, Moses could have told Jethro, look, hey, you know what? You have a place and it's not here. Moses could have just brushed off. Let me go back here. Let me read here for us. Moses could have just brushed off the old man and told him to mind his own business. He didn't. What important lessons can we learn from his willingness to listen to this person who wasn't even a Hebrew? Well, the thing that comes to my mind is that the Bible is the filter by which everything must be put through. So if someone comes to us that is not of our denomination, that's not of our race, that's not of our, as it were, nationality, wasn't a Hebrew, but the principles he gave, Jethro gave to Moses, were incredible, and he's saying here, trust in me, follow this, we need to say, look, everything we hear goes to the Bible. And wisdom is from God, and we have to listen carefully and follow the wisdom that God has given to us through the lens of the Scriptures. I've heard some wise things said about people who were not of my particular religious beliefs, but it's still wise. And when it fits through the filter of the Bible, then we can rely on it and trust it. And this is the example we see here. God wants to do what? take care of our thirst. God wants to take care of our hunger. God wants to take care of the structure in our life. That's how much He cares for us, and that's how much He wants to do for us. Now we're back here again, looking on Thursday, the bread and water of life. Here we have that phrase that we become so familiar with if you spent time with the scriptures, because Jesus applied this to Himself. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. Notice Paul talks about this. Let's look here in 1 Corinthians 10:11. What reason does Paul give for these events to be recorded? Notice it says here, we're talking about the bread and water of life. He said all these things that we've been studying up to this point of this week and for the whole quarter, all of these stories that have been left for us. Paul makes this incredible statement. Notice here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, and it says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? I love that text. So all these things that Moses had to deal with, all these things that the people had to go through, all of it was recorded for what? It happened to them as an example, and they were written for our admonition. It was written for us to learn from. We need to study this. We need to follow these things and learn from that so that we can trust that God will take care of us. He took care of them with their need. Whatever it was, God took care of them, and He will take care of us today. Jesus is to be the living water. He's to be the bread. He's the one that's going to take care of all of the things that we have if we will bring them to Him. We go on in our lesson, and we have two stories from John 4 and John 6, and it talks about two experiences. The first one in John 4 talks about the Samaritan woman who discovers that Christ is offering something, that He's wanting to give them something more. She was there just for the physical water, but what was God after? He was after her heart. And that's the thing we have to look at through these lessons that we're reading about. God did not just want to give them water to drink. He wanted to give them eternal life. He wanted to give them the promised land. He wanted them to learn to trust in Him in everything. Here you have the stories of the Samaritan woman. And then you have Jesus later on talking to the people, and He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger." Now, is He just simply talking about physical bread? Well, from the story, we see that God does want to take care of our physical needs. He wants to give us bread. Bread is amazing. It's a beautiful gift. But God wants more than that. He wants to feed us spiritually. He wants to feed us so that we don't hunger after the things of this world that do not have the fulfillment that we're seeking for. So many people out there today are asking, there's got to be more to life. There's got to be more to what I'm having. Yes, there is. It's found in the Bible. It's found in Jesus. It's found into the phrase here, "I am the bread of life." Because you remember, it was God, not Moses, that was bringing the bread, right? It wasn't Moses that went out every morning and dumped a bucket of manna all over the ground. It wasn't Moses who was able to take a piece of stick and make the water bitter to sweet. It was God doing it. And it is God who can take care of us today. The manna, as the manna in the wilderness was bread from heaven, so the water from the rock was Christ's gift to satisfy their thirst. You see, friends, many of us, we're thirsting spiritually. We're thirsting emotionally. We're thirsting for something more. And this lesson is bringing out that God is the one that we're thirsting for. Are you tired of drinking bitter water from this world? Are you tired of going hungry because the things that you're trying to engage in are not fulfilling, they're not satisfying, they're leaving you thirsty and hungry? That's because we got to come to the Lord. And then let the Lord put us in the place where we're trusting Him, following Him, and even to the place where God cares enough about us to put the right structure in our lives to help us, as we see with the story of Jethro. Friday gives us further thought. It's taken, the reading suggested is from Patriarchs and Prophets, from the Red Sea to Sinai, where we continue to see the journey of how God is wanting to take care of us. Now, as we follow through here, we see that right after God helps them to learn the lesson about water, how God is wanting to help them learn the lesson about having bread to eat, how God is wanting to help them learn how to structure and organize the camp to move forward. Wow, after that, it brings out they get into a physical conflict with a nation that was around them. A nation, the Bible we see here, the Amalekites, that came after and they start doing horrible things to the people. And you see, God in the steps of faith is getting them to the place where if you can't trust me to take care of the water, you're not going to be able to trust me with the food, you're not going to be able to trust me with structure, you're not going to be able to trust me when the real battles come in. God wants us to trust Him. And as you read through this passage, you're going to see how God is doing incredible things for us and wants to do more for us. Not long after the incident with the water, the nation faced a new danger. A fierce and warlike tribe was out to attack them, and they did, and it started going after the weak, going after people. And God did work and take care of this, but it was a trust issue. We have to believe that God is going to take care of us. As we come to the end of the week, we have some discussion questions. It says here, dwell more on the idea of how Jethro learned about the true God from what God did for his people. We talked a little bit about that. Why does that principle hold true today? Ask yourself in your class, what kind of witness does our church present to the world? What do we say to the world about the nature and character of God? You see, the story there about Jethro and setting up structure in the church reflects onto godliness. A well-structured church, a well-organized church, a church that has a vision and has a mission and they're working in harmony together is a powerful testimony of the goodness of God. And this is one of those things that we can draw out of this week's lesson. Read again 1 Corinthians 10:4. What should this teach us about the ancient heresy, which some believe today, that say the Old Testament God was vengeful, hateful, and unforgiving, in contrast to what we see in Jesus? How does this verse show why that belief is wrong? Who was it that was on the rock with Moses bringing out the water? It was Jesus. It was God. So God wasn't out there and saying, hey, you know, 3 days, that's not very long. Let's do 3 more days to really teach you the lesson before I give you water. You're hungry, let's wait more. No. And if you read about manna, that manna was delicious. I often wonder what it'd be like to have manna. That had to be incredible. God didn't give them bitter food to eat. He didn't give them the most miserable thing out there. He gave them something that was sweet, something that was delicious, that was nourishing, and that He wanted to have for them so that they would be able to have the right nutrition. So who was it there? It was God. It wasn't a vengeful God taking vengeance out on the people. It was God there helping them in the needs that they had. Read again what Ellen White wrote about how the Amalekites had the opportunity to learn about the true God. Contrast their attitude to Jethro's. What lesson can we learn about why God brought judgment upon not just them, but upon many of the tribes in the ancient world that Israel came in contact with? So further study, you will look and you'll see that God did give all these nations an opportunity. As a matter of fact, you'll find that as you go down, you'll see there are actually families woven together. They're relatives, and they had the same opportunities. If you think of Jacob and Esau, they both were exposed to trusting in the Lord. One chose not to. And so God works with all the people. He works with everybody. He doesn't just arbitrarily decide this group is saved, this group is lost. He works for the salvation of every person out there. And when you read in here, you see Jethro hears the stories about God, and he's like, praise the Lord, this is amazing. It's clear God is working in your life. Hey, let me share something that could help you. Instead of others who hear about what God has done and come to fight against the Lord instead of assisting, instead of surrendering, instead of coming close to the Lord. Oh, friends, we want to be a witness. We want to share, we want to give all that we can through what God has provided for us to give to others. Please don't ever fall short of sharing your testimony. Don't ever fall short of sharing what good things God has done for you. And friends, if you're in a place where you can honestly say, you know what, I don't know God that well. I've not seen that kind of experience. My life has been more of the bitter waters than it has been the sweet waters. It's been more of a hungering than a satisfaction. It's more of confusion instead of like Jethro's principles of structure and organization that help. Well, friends, I invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to God. Come to the bread of life. Come to the water of life and see how you can be satisfied, how you can be taken care of, because God wants to take care of us. Next week's lesson is the covenant at Sinai, and you're going to see how God is making a covenant with His people, making a covenant with you and with me, that He will provide, He will take care of us, and that He loves us. So friends, I pray that you will bless through the study of this lesson. Pray that you will be encouraged to press on and that you will trust in the Lord no matter what is happening. That God is here for us. He'll take care of us. Surrender to Him and watch Him work in an amazing way. May you be blessed. May God fill your life and may you be drawn closer to Him is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Don't forget to request today's life-changing free resource. Not only can you receive this free gift in the mail, you can download a digital copy straight to your computer or mobile device. To get your digital copy of today's free gift, simply text the keyword on your screen to 40544 or visit the web address shown on your screen and be sure to select the digital download option on the request page. It's now easier than ever for you to study God's Word with amazing facts wherever and whenever you want, and most important, to share it with others.